103 years ago today, on September the 7th, 1921, the first Miss America pageant took place in Atlantic City, New Jersey. Initially, the pageant was merely intended as an incentive for visitors to stay in Atlantic City past Labor Day, which was the first Monday in September. However, this event has grown and expanded over the years, and their website now states, "Miss America is more than just a title. It's a movement of empowering young women everywhere to dream big, to insist that their voice be heard, and to inspire change around in the world around them." This later inspired other beauty pageants, such as Miss England in 1928, Miss World in 1951, and in 1952, the ultimate in human arrogance, Miss Universe. Contestants are scored on a variety of ways in categories ranging from interviews to how well they can model a swimsuit. The average cost of even being considered Miss Anything can range up to $10,000. However, the winnings would amply cover this. For instance, the prize for Miss USA includes a six-figure salary for a year, a rent-free condo in Los Angeles for a year, a new car, and a new designer wardrobe. So today, let's have a look at what the world calls beauty, and then let us compare it to what God calls true beauty. Mankind's view on what beauty is can be seen everywhere, from television presenters to adverts promoting the next best wrinkle-removing cream. Our elderly neighbour gave us a bag that contained several women's magazines, and it was fascinating going through them and noticing just how much the ideal body, weight, shape, height was being pushed. According to one website, researchers found that the ideal female body has the height of 1.68 metres, or 5 foot and 5 inches, and has a bust waist to hip ratio of 39 to 24 to 36 inches, whereas the ideal man would be just a tad taller at 6 foot, with a weight of 187 pounds, or 84 kilos, with a chest measuring of 41 inches and a waist of 33. The fashion industry, for many years, tried to push the ideal female shape of that of the famous Barbie doll, whose proportions, if she was a real woman, would be 5 foot 9 inches and just 110 pounds, with a BMI of 16, and a bust size of 39 inches, a waist of only 18, and hips of 33. As a comparison, my thigh is bigger than her waist would be, which can't be healthy. Much of mankind's concept of beauty is engineered by the cosmetic industry. All the companies that create and market the creams, potions, and essentially art supplies used to take a normal human face and refashion it as it should look, according to those same companies. Last year, American Cosmetic Industries was estimated at $62.9 billion. As Oscar Wilde stated, "A man's face is his autobiography. A woman's face is her work of fiction." This work of fiction is created by applying multiple layers of powders and paints in the correct order. Since obviously neither I nor my wife had the remotest idea how all this was done, we did a bit of research, and we came up with a YouTube video titled "How to Apply Makeup for Beginners, Step by Step," which was only 39 minutes long. Then we found a WikiHow page that explained through its following 18 steps how to apply makeup. Please note, this doesn't actually include washing your face to start with. So you have moisturiser, primer, foundation, concealer, setting powder, highlighter, contourer, bronzer, blusher, eyebrow filler, eyeshadow primer, eyeshadow, eyeliner, mascara, lip balm, lipstick, lip liner, and setting spray. That's a lot to burden your skin with, and a lot of time that is could be spent on more profitable things. It's also not cheap. The average cost for just that lot was over $590. And if you're not happy with your body, you can go through various plastic surgeries, which will also drain your pocketbook. In 2021, Americans spent over $14 billion on plastic surgeries and aesthetic procedures. Man's way is vain. It is designed to show a mask of what they would rather look like rather than to show the true person. It is false. It is a lie. So let's now have a look at God's idea of beauty. In a sermon titled Hungering for God's Righteousness, given on the 11th of June, 1983, Mr. Armstrong made this comment. The academic centre I have named after my wife, who died over 17 years ago now, is named in her honour. Her picture is there on the mantle of the grand lobby of Ambassador Hall. Go up and have a look at the painting of my wife's face, and look at those eyes. If the light isn't good, turn the light on so you can see it. You can see down in... There is no paint on her at all, but look down inside and you'll see character. That is where real beauty is. As Mr. Armstrong always repeated, there are two ways, give and get, or an outflowing of self, or an inward-looking self. Man's beauty is vain. It is inward-looking. It is getting other people to look at them, and not anybody else. But true beauty pours out from within and gives it of itself to others. And that is what true beauty is. That's God's beauty. Right at the end of Proverbs 31, in verse 30, it states, favour is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. God places far more emphasis on the inward appearance than on the outer. If you remember when Samuel was sent to Jesse's home to anoint Saul's replacement, he was shown seven fine, strapping young men before David, all of whom Samuel thought were excellent specimens of manhood. But God could see into their hearts, and he didn't see the beautiful characteristics that he wanted. But when David was called in from the field, God said to Samuel, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." He could see in David the characteristics that he wanted in a king over his people. There is a phrase, the beauty of holiness, which is used four times in the Bible. This is what we should be aiming for, the true beauty that comes from our character, rather than our outward appearance. This is not, of course, to say that we shouldn't pay attention to how we look. We are commanded that when we assemble before God, we are to look our best, even if our best jacket has a hole in it, or we have righteous shoes with holes in the soles, as Mr. Armstrong had at the beginning of his ministry. We are supposed to take care of ourselves as part of God's creation, and as the temple of the Holy Spirit. Remember, it is impossible to love thy neighbour as thyself if we don't love ourselves. However, there is a wrong way to love ourselves, and that is of vanity. Vanity, in his own beauty, caused Lucifer to think more highly of himself than of God, to the point where he even tried to usurp God's position as supreme ruler, which we read of in Ezekiel 28, and we'll read verse 17. That's Ezekiel 28, and we'll read verse 17. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy beauty, thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. In a sermon titled From Sardis to Laodicea, given on the 24th of June, 1983, Mr. Armstrong made this comment. Vanity is self-glory. It is not glorifying God. It's glorifying the self. It's thinking, how beautiful am I? How lovely am I? Well now, I get to thinking about myself and I want everything. And that leads to wanting to get and to take away from others. And that leads to antagonism against others. That leads to jealousy and envy. It leads to competition and strife. It leads to hatred and murder. It leads to sin. And that is the way sin began. From vanity and thinking how beautiful I am, it is the very principle of sin. As Mr. Armstrong often so emphasized, there are two ways of life, give and get. Vanity is definitely get. Look how beautiful I am. Bow down to my greater knowledge, success, money, etc. Whereas God's way produces beauty in all things, for the enjoyment of all. He doesn't hoard all the best flowers and the most beautiful and stunning birds and butterflies, or insists that his people wear only drab colours while he himself enjoys the splendour of the full spectrum of colour. He wants to share everything with us, his creation. We can find beauty wherever we look in God's creation. For those who don't know, my father has the ability to grow orchids, and looking at the intricate patterns on the petals, you can't deny that they haven't been designed. God is that master designer. And at the end of the creation week, we read in Genesis 1, verse 31, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning was the sixth day." God created everything, people, plants, animals, you, me, to be beautiful. He expects us to take proper care of his creation, including ourselves. But it is to be done with the right attitude, to be done for the glory of God, and not to please our own selfish, Satan-inspired vanity, so that when God looks at us, he can again say that his creation is indeed very good.